welcome to Biblical Insights. I'm your host, Pat Fisk. This is where God's Word is proclaimed, and we are definitely unashamed. We tackle issues that are trying to steer our culture away from God. As we watch TV, whether it's the news or one of our favorite shows, the goal, it appears, is to not just entertain us anymore, but the goal is to indoctrinate us. God's Word is clear. The Christian voice is being silenced, or so they wish. Tolerance is no longer tolerable. It's time to take a stand and be the voice we're meant to have. Sit down, buckle up. It's gonna get bumpy, so hold on. Let's go. Hey, welcome again to Biblical Insights. My name is Pat Fisk, and I am going to be your host for tonight. I'm pretty much your host every night that we do this. But here what we do is we take the culture and we view it through the lenses of the Bible. What does the Bible say about all these different things that are the crazy stuff that's going on in our culture right now? Suicide amongst teens, it's crazy numbers, absolutely crazy numbers. And there's reasons behind it. It's not popular. Why are some of the reasons that these kids are doing it? There's this huge push for gender ideology being taught to our young ones, and which is absolutely just repulsive. God made two genders, male, female. That's what it is. If you go by what the Bible says, then that's what you believe. You can't have it both ways. God made Adam and Eve, and that's it. So right now I'm on a series on self-esteem. What it is, what is biblical self-esteem? What does it look like? How does it affect us? And especially the young people that are out there right now that are extremely being affected by this crazy culture that we live in right now, that it's okay to have multiple genders all at the same time and be gender fluid or just not even pick one, which is kind of ridiculous. I mean, God made us one or the other. That's all there is to it. And we can't argue that. You can make up perceptions of yourself, but you can't change the fact of how God made you. There's no difference between gender and what you are biological. I mean, they're not separate. They're one and the same. God made Adam and Eve, male, female, made them, okay, to procreate. And that's the obvious fact. Read the Bible. It'll tell you that. So we're looking at, the self-esteem in our culture right now amongst young ones is horrifying. When you think about what kids, how they see themselves based on what the public, what their culture, what their peers portray or push that image on individuals, on young ones, especially girls. But the key is how does God see you? How does God see me? How does God see all of us? And that's what we're going to finish the series on, spiritual growth. But I'm finishing off a message that I started last week on spiritual growth and self-esteem. So what is self-esteem? Self-esteem is our internal feelings and evaluation of ourselves based on our perceived self-image, how we feel about ourselves based on how we view ourselves. So there's different things that we could look at as far as what affects our self-esteem. Our family, our friends, our peers, how they perceive us can be negative, could be bad. You could have went through a really horrible time in your life where your parents, just how they treated you. And with that, you're going to be affected for the rest of your life. I know people, I'm not going to name names or relationships because it's too close, but how they were treated growing up has affected them to today. And that's horrible that someone would think it's okay to treat someone bad and not even think about the consequences that these words or actions play on this individual or individuals, plural. So the bad part about it is sometimes it's intentional where how they treat people, how the individuals treat others. And sometimes it's by accident that it's not intentional, but the consequences are the same, that whether your words that are coming out of your mouth are to intentionally damage someone or bring someone down, or if it was just unintentional and you're accidentally saying things, sometimes they have the same effect on that individual's, that their perception. They're not good enough. They're gray. They worked really, really hard, but all they got was a C plus. That could damage them for a really long time, especially if you're a parent or your parents or whatever, your peers have really pushed the idea that the grades, A, Bs, stuff like that, you gotta get straight A's, where academics is number one in your life. It's not how getting ahead of myself, it's not how God sees us, but it's how other people see us. And the most important part in this whole relationship and this, how we see ourselves and stuff like that, is how does God see us? He's the one that created us. So you would think that that should be number one in our lives, on how does he see us? And I truly feel that that's a lost art, as far as, maybe I'm not using the right word, but that idea is lost right now, because we're moving so far away from a Christian world view, a Christian mindset in our culture. Our culture right now is so secular, anti-God, anti-Christ. You can use the word God, but God can mean so many different meanings. And so when I speak of God, I think of Yahweh. I think of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I think of the God who created the universe. I'm not talking about some Hindu God or Buddha or some Mormon God, how they perceive God, or Jehovah Witness. I'm talking biblical, evangelical, inerrant believers who believe that the Bible is God's inerrant word. It's without error. And we're not gonna, I've got another one about another podcast I did about the accuracy, the reliability of the text. And but if we're not, if we let others who have nothing, they have nothing to gain, nothing to lose, they just they want to push their viewpoint on individuals, and instead of fighting back, these poor people, they're given in. These girls and these young men are given in to society on how the man is supposed to be, or how the woman is supposed to be. They're not sitting there saying, how does God see me? That should be number one in our lives. How does he perceive us? How does he see us? How does he want us to see ourselves? We are Christ followers. We are supposed to be disciples. We are supposed to be training others to, in all the things that God teaches, from Genesis to Revelation and all the doctrines in between. We are supposed to be not just learning these things for ourselves, but we are to be training others to do the same thing. We're training disciples to be disciple, to train disciples, to train disciples. It's, I hate to use this analogy, but Jesus was the first multi-level marketer. When he worked on the 12, and it's quality discipleship, not quantity evangelism. Jesus focused on the 12, the 11, not counting Judas, but he was there, to take his word and carry it to all the nations. Matthew 28 tells us what the Great Commission is, to teach everyone. But that's what we're supposed to be doing right now. And if we're doing that, then we're training up our next generation to actually see ourselves in the light of Jesus, how he sees us, how God, how we are made in his image. So when we ignore that, we fall away from our true purpose in life. When we don't acknowledge that we're made in God's image. And I think once we realize that, then we're going to see a dramatic change in our society. We're going to see how our perception changes on how we perceive ourselves. I was a drug addict. I did a lot of drugs. I drank a lot. And I can actually say that a lot of the people that I hung out with affected how I saw myself. And I wanted to be a partier. I wanted to bring myself, I say this, bring myself up to their level. But I was actually bringing myself farther and farther away from who I'm supposed to be, who made me to be who I am today, and to get even better. I'm not saying superior over anybody else, but we are created in God's image for his purpose, and to spread the gospel, to bring as many people as we can into his kingdom. But while you're living in that lifestyle, you're getting the opinions and the pressures from outside that want nothing to do with God. And we're allowing them to affect how we see ourselves. And it's a lack. And we take believers or churches and so we should take credit or not credit, but we should take blame and accept that blame and responsibility on ourselves, because we're not training up the next generation to be followers of Christ. Okay. We're allowing our secular schools and the politicians and our government and just society in general to raise our next generation of kids to be haters of God. There's no longer free speech. There's no longer this dialogue in between having differences of opinions. That's no longer in existence anymore. It's if you disagree with me, I'm going to shout you down, and I'm going to do everything I can to silence you. And how does that feel on someone else's self-esteem when all you want to do is get into a conversation with someone, or you have your own opinion about it. You have a certain viewpoint about certain things. My pastor and I love him. He's my mentor, Pastor Phil Fernandez, Trinity Bible Fellowship. He's also the president of the International Society of Christian Apologetics. A wonderful man. I look up to him as a mentor in my life. And the changes that I've made in my life, a lot of it is due to having a mentor like him in my life. But we disagree on things, and we don't disagree on the major doctrines, which is okay. If you disagree on the major doctrines, well, then we got to talk. But if it's like a minor thing, a timing of something, or something that's not salvational, then we can agree to disagree. I have a strong viewpoint on something. He has a strong viewpoint on it. We can talk about it. And then the end of the day, it's like, okay, well, I respect your opinion. And he respects my opinion. But in the public square, or even in the schools nowadays, that's not accepted. Okay. We're going to shout you down. And how does that make people feel, that you can't even have a voice anymore in just in society? Your opinion doesn't matter. How do you think that affects your self-esteem, or how we view ourselves. And there's so much just to be a Christian in a secular school, university and stuff, is you're a second class citizen. That's horrible. But then you take it to the other side of someone who's a non-believer. And when you're persecuted about whatever or something like that, that these individuals don't really care about you. They don't love you. That are pushing this crazy ideology about whatever gender identity. And it's, I hate saying it, when it comes to like the doctors and the hospitals who do these surgeries, it's all about money. They don't care about people. So these people are hurting. They go there thinking that these things are going to affect or change and make better their self-esteem and their, oh, how they feel about themselves are going to be so much better. Well, that's false. That is absolutely wrong, because you're changing something that's outside of you, that you're changing an external thing where you need to be changing your internal, your heart, your mind. How do you see? How does their creator, I mean, he's probably sadder than anything, where we see these individuals, young girls, what they're doing to their bodies, and the young men, what they're doing and adding to their bodies is not working. That's where I jump in, and that's where I say the suicide amongst them is greater after all these surgeries and chemicals are putting in their body. The suicide rate is greater afterwards. But our society doesn't want to talk about that. They want to say, oh, it's a fix. Oh yeah, we're going to push these individuals and they're going to go do it. Excuse me. And get them the medication they need, get them the help that they need. Well, that's not good for the individual. They're crying out for help. And that's where we as a church need to step in and get rid of society. Not get rid of society. Let me take that back. What we need to do is be the barrier between societal influence and the individual, because they're crying out for help, and we have the answer. It's in the gospel. It's in what Christ did for us. That's the answer. It's in God who created the universe. That's the answer. Because if we find our worth in him who created, these people that are on CNBC or whatever lamestream media, they don't care about you as an individual. They can care less. You're nothing to them. You are a statistic. You are a talking point. That's all you are. But your worth is greater than a talking point. Your worth is found in the creator of the universe. Because he loves you, and he's done everything to have that path, to make that path for you to get back into that intimate relationship with him. That is our Father. That is what a true Father who loves us will do. Not the media, not the doctors. And it's sad to say this, because I have a lot of respect for doctors and like law enforcement, first responders. I have an absolute respect for them. But then when you get into these pediatric doctors who are going in there and have been caught on camera saying it's a moneymaker to get these like top surgery for a young girl to have her breast removed because she thinks in her head that she's a boy. That doctor needs to be put in jail. That's my opinion. all these doctors that are doing this, removing healthy organs, healthy body parts, instead of saying, hey, let's sit down and let's talk, because there's something going on that makes you feel this way. Like the Bible says, we are not to trust our feelings. Our feelings are deceitful amongst everything. So if the Bible is telling us that our feelings, we're not supposed to trust our emotions or our feelings, because those are deceitful. Those go up and down like the waves in the ocean, or like the wind blows one way or the other. That's how our feelings are. So we're not supposed to trust it. But when I say that I feel this way, where it's this self-esteem, the self-image, not everyone made everyone look like, let's say, what, Bo Derek, Vanna White. Not all girls look like that. And not all guys look like Charlton Heston or Tom Selleck or whoever, George Clooney or whatever. I'm more like Telly Savalas. Go figure. But God didn't make everyone to be glamorous models. But he did make you important, and he did make you unique. That's the thing that we need to focus on is, you know what? You are a unique creation in Christ. You as a young girl or you as a young boy can grow up to be a strong woman or a strong man and make a difference, because you are worth it. You're worth it more than you think. So we need to sit back and say, what's going on in our country right now? How can we change it? Well, we need to get back to the Bible. We need to get back to what God says. And what does God say about you? What does God say about me? That's where we need to really focus and jump on that. You know what? God created us, okay? In his image. I just want you to think about that for a second. What does that mean that God created us in his image? That he had the thought in his head how he wanted us to look. Okay. He took the time. Like, I'm an artist. I wish I could show you some of my paintings, but you take the time to think about it in your head. You sketch it out. Either you airbrush like I do, or you use a paintbrush or pencils or whatever. You take that time and you sketch, okay? And you're like, wow, okay, you want this to turn out beautiful, okay? You want it to turn out like, wow, this is just absolutely amazing painting. I got an argument really quick. Got an argument with a guy years ago when... before my brother passed away back in 96. This was like 90, mid or early 96. And I did a painting of a killer whale floating, like bobbing in the water. And that was it. And I was going to sell it, raffle it off and get the money to help out my brother. Okay. Excuse me. Well, I argued with this guy because this guy said that it was a photograph. I go, no, it's not a photograph. I painted it. No, it didn't. This is a photograph, a big poster, basically. And I go, no. And I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm not saying that. But we continued to argue until he finally realized, and I kind of pointed out something, and he realized it. Well, see, that's what God looks at us. We are made in his image. And if he can come down, he's like, wait a second. I made that young man. I made that young woman. Okay. Don't you come over here and say it's an imposter and try to recreate or change this somehow and mess with my creation. But that's what we're doing. That's what the doctors are doing. Because we're not found in Christ. Because he created us. So there's much that can be added to the fact that God highly esteems us. He puts us up. He loves us so much. He created this universe for us. Okay. And you know what? That might be go against what some of these atheist secular scientists or whatever say, but it's the truth. This whole universe was created for us. Why do I say that? Is all the different planets are put exactly where they are in the exact orbit and the exact distance away from each other in the certain alignment, and how they go is for us here on Earth to exist. And secular scientists or just secular people in general, atheists, how non-believers, we'll just go that way, can't fathom that this vast universe was just created for us. Is there life on other planets? Who knows? Okay. It's not up for me. Because you know what? If God wanted me to know, he would have told us. He would have let us know in the 66 books that he wrote to us, his love letters that he wrote to us. He would have let us know. But he didn't. So is it important? Yeah, I don't worry about it. Because I know that all these different planets, if they were out of sync, if they were a little bit too far away or a little bit closer, we wouldn't have it. We wouldn't have life here. Okay. It's a fine-tuned, by design, creation of the universe. My God. So many scientists. Michael Heiser. Okay. You've got so many different people that are out there that there's so much evidence. It's ridiculous that you can't argue. You're going to say false facts and stuff like that and say whatever you want, but the evidence is clearly on the side of creation. So while we were sinners, he wanted us to have a proper estimation of ourselves. Okay. But now let's address more directly the subject of what hinders a poor self-esteem. What damage can it do? What does a poor self-esteem, how does that hinder our spiritual growth? For one, not believing they are capable of growing. Some tell themselves, I could never do that. Like teach a class, preach a sermon. I can never play on the baseball team. I could never be a scientist. I could never be fill in the blank, whatever. Okay. Or I will make too many mistakes if I try this. So prone to giving up so soon. Some tell themselves, I just don't have the ability. Okay, well, obviously, I don't have the ability. God didn't create me. These are unrealistic expectations. God didn't create me to be in the NBA. Okay, my daughter and I argue. I say I'm 5'10". She is more like 5'8". I'm like, no, maybe as I'm getting older, I'm shrinking. I don't know. But God didn't create me to be an NBA star. Okay, neither did he create me to be a hair model. He didn't. So these are unrealistic expectations of myself. So so I'm not trying to say that we can't be all that we can be. We've just got to have realistic expectations of ourselves. And I think if we set up our goals too high, and I'm not saying, oh, we just got to set like tiny little goals. No, stretch yourself, do everything possible. Okay. But God created every single one of us. Hey, like I said earlier, unique. We all have our unique challenges. We also have our unique talents. So poor self-esteem on an individual basis can easily carry over to how the group feels. You're too small of a church as a church to do this, or we are too poor. All these excuses are indications of a poor self-esteem and prevent spiritual growth. Because if we want to grow spiritually and get closer and closer to God and Christ who died on the cross for us, we have to get past the fact of ignoring what people say about us and focus on and what does God see in us? What is the talent that God sees on us? So proper self-esteem enhances our spiritual growth. So consider the healthy self-esteem that Paul the Apostle had. So let's look at real quick. We're going to go to Philippians. Excuse me. So Philippians 4:13. Everyone knows it. Okay. So Philippians 4:13. And let me give me a second. So Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So what does that mean? And it doesn't mean what most people are saying that it means. So when we look at, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay. It's not naming, name it and claim it when it comes to Corvette or, you name the fill in the blank. What he's talking about is Paul can do all things. While he is poor, he can do it. While he's rich and he was prosperous, he can do all things. He can focus on God. And let me try to jump back a little bit. So let's look at, give me 1 second. All right. So look at right here. So, but I rejoice. So we're going to start in verse 10. So, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am in, or whatever state I am, to be content. Verse 12. I know how to be abased. Okay. I know how to be abound or how to abound. Everything in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, but he's saying that it doesn't matter the situation we're in, whether we're super depressed or if we're feeling down or losing our house or whatever. I just got a huge job and one whatever. We can still focus on Christ. I can still focus on him. And because it doesn't matter the exterior influences, I can still do all things through Christ for himself, for others. Okay. Consider your self-esteem. The Apostle Paul had for others. He loved everyone. He wished that all the burdens, he would be the one that would be cast out and all the Jews, his brethren, would be saved. So what should have a similar estimation of, so we should have that same view, that estimation of ourselves. We can do whatever God wants us to do because Christ strengthens us in that. Okay. So as long as we align our will with his will, we can accomplish anything. Okay. We look at ourselves through the lenses of him who created us. We are unstoppable. You are unstoppable. But we need to get back to who created us and why did he create us? He created us for a purpose, for you to be all that you can be. He wants us to be happy, joyful. Are we going to go through some crazy stuff? Yeah, but we should never lose focus on him at all. Because when Jesus was on the water and Peter got out of the water and started walking towards him, walking on the water, as long as he was focused and keep staring and kept his focus on Jesus, okay, his sights were on him, he was fine. But as soon as he took his eyes off of him, what happened? He started sinking and he was yelling out, save me. Okay. I think that is our society right now amongst the youth, that you've taken your eyes off of Christ. And when we do, we fall into despair. We fall into self-pity. We fall into these crazy thoughts of suicide because we've taken our focus off of Him. And we need to get back to focusing on Him. But we've got a generation right now that disregards the creation of the universe because we've had this our universities are overrun with liberal, Christ-hating professors. And it's hard. I can't imagine. I literally cannot imagine what it would be like right now to be in school and being bombarded. But that's where we need to right now. We need to focus on, obviously, I'm not saying the next generation, this generation of young people is lost, because they're not. Because Christ, we can do all things through Christ. We can get out of that situation. We can get back into following Christ. So, but we need to start intentionally teaching our young kids, our young boys and girls, our young daughters, our young sons, our grandkids, our grandsons, our granddaughters. We need to be teaching them the principles of the Bible. We need to get them to have that worldview of God created us, not our school. I'm going to teach my kids and my grandkids about what is a male, what is a female. Not my school, or not my whatever school they're going to. We need to sit down and set the boundaries and just say, no, this is a hill I'm going to stand on. And you know what? You're not going to pass. Okay? My kids are my responsibility. I am not turning my kids over to you or my grandkids over to you to indoctrinate them into this crazy ideology that leads them straight to the pits of hell if they don't get out of that. Makes me mad that taking advantage of young ones is absolutely sickening. So, what are some practical steps in improving our self-esteem, our self-image in Christ? Okay, identify and accept your strengths, weaknesses. Everyone has them. No one is perfect. So we need to identify what our strengths are in Christ. Okay, what is something that you're good at? Okay, and emphasize that. And then recognize some of our weaknesses. You know what? I can't be a hair model. Okay, I don't know why you would say that, but I can't be one. Okay. Maybe something about a blade that shaves your head perfectly. Maybe I could be a model for that. But, and you know what my weakness? I can't be an NBA basketball player. Okay. For one, I'm like way too old. And also I'm just a little too short, just a little bit, not much. But we need to recognize these things and realize that, you know what? We're not perfect. Okay. If you try your best, okay. I hate this. Well, your best, that wasn't good enough. Well, yeah, it is. Okay. If you put 100% into something and you've tried your best, okay, you know what? Good for you. Okay. That's the key. Don't pity someone. We're like, oh, at least they tried. No, you know what? Thank you. But don't give out participation trophies for someone, and not give out, like first place, second place, third place, grand prize, stuff like that. Cause you know what? They earned that. Because that's where they accelerate and that's where they're good at. But if you've given everything you've got in whatever endeavor you take on, then you know what? Good for you. Good for you. Because you know what? God created you and you know what? You did the absolute best. Okay. And that should build that up inside you. Okay. And you know what? Don't ever be ashamed of that. Like, we're not supposed to be ashamed of the gospel. Okay, same thing. Don't ever be ashamed that if you've done your best and that is what your best is, you've given everything for it, then you know what? Good for you. Okay. And don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Okay. That's what my dad was good at that. Okay. I mean, there was a couple of things that my dad, I wanted to be an artist, and you just like, it was a 40-40 plan. Work 40 hours a week for 40 years. That's your goal. So, but other than that, you know what? He did. He encouraged, and he was definitely someone I miss right now. So take an I can attitude and offer yourself encouragement along the way. I can do this. I can, well, whatever's within your physical ability is, or mental ability, just take it. You know what? I can do that. Try, give it your all and do that. That'll help with your improving this self-image, self-esteem. Set realistic goals. Okay. And take joy in achieving these goals, these small goals, these small steps. Okay. Set these goals. And when you do, man, give God the glory for it. Okay. Because it's Him that's helping us achieve those goals. Okay. Don't try to be someone else. Be thankful for who you are. Okay. I can't say that enough, that be thankful how God created you. Okay. He created you a wonderful individual. Okay. We've all had problems. We've all sinned. But God created you. Okay. Don't try to be someone that you're not. Okay. Cause that will never, ever work. And if you're trying to be someone that you're actually, that you're not, then you're going to be disappointed. And that's what we're seeing right now in our culture, is people trying to be something that they're not, and it's not working. You're not going to see it on mainstream the news. You're not going to see these stories where people are transitioning to other genders and stuff like that, and trying to be something or somebody that they're not, and it's not fixing it. It's not working. So be thankful for who you are. Be thankful for how God created you. Okay. Explore your own talents. Okay. Learn to love and appreciate the uniqueness of yourself. Okay. God loves you, and your brethren, the church, they love you. Okay. And that is something that I'm not going to argue about, that the people that are around you, absolutely, you can surround yourself with a church family and stuff like that, that absolutely love you for who you are. You don't have to pretend. Like, years I pretended to be something that I wasn't. And when it finally collapsed around me, it hurt. It hurt a lot. Because all my worth, and how I felt this worth was gone, and it was no longer, it wasn't found in Christ. So it wasn't a set, permanent, forever, eternal thing. It was a very temporal, time-stamped thing with my so-called friends. But that's where I found my worth, and people will let you down. Whereas God will never let you down. Okay, He will always be there. Will He punish us? Will He take us out to the woodshed sometimes and give us a whooping? Yeah. Okay. And that's what he's supposed to do. Okay. Because He's going to chastise those that He loves. And so don't think just because you're going through a hard time that God doesn't love you. It's not true. It couldn't be farther from the truth, that He will always love you and He will never forsake you. Okay. It's us that walk away from Him. It's not Him walking away from us. It's we are the ones that are turning our back on God. So excuse me. So we need to eliminate negative self-talk. Quit telling yourself, I can't do this. I'm worthless. I'm ugly. Fill in the blank negative wise, whatever you're saying, you need to stop. Okay. Because that is not how God sees you by any means. That is not how God sees you. We are wonderful in his eyes. Just, I don't know how else to say it, that we are loved above all else, above all the other creatures and everything in the world, that God loves us. Christ didn't die for your dog or your sheep or your cow or your cat or whatever. Christ died for you. If you were the only individual that was here on earth, Christ is not only willing and able, he would have laid his life down just for you if you were the only one here on earth. Let that sink in for a second. If you were the only human being here on earth, Christ would have came down and done the exact same thing and would have laid his life down on the cross for you. So take, so eliminate this negative self-talk, okay? And just consider the following. It takes about 20 positive statements about yourself, okay? The foundation of our self-esteem to counteract even just one negative personal statement. So someone says something horrible about you, or you're starting to tell yourself, you're believing what these other people are saying. It takes this mountain of positive comments, statements to counteract just that one negative comment. So we got to get in the habit of realizing that when you start dogging on yourself and saying these horrible things, that you know what? God created you. So what you're saying, you're actually trashing on one of God's creations, a very loved creation, but a creation of his. It doesn't take a continual repetition of negative statements from parents, peers, and others throughout your childhood to cause low self-esteem. It could take just a couple comments and it kind of trashes on how you see yourself. And that's how we see ourselves. Yeah, we're not supposed to ignore that we're not sinners, okay? Because we are all sinners saved by grace. That is it, okay? If it wasn't by the grace of God that he did for us, that we deserve the pits of hell. But it's by his grace, it's by his mercy, and by what he did on the cross, what Christ did on the cross, is what brings us back into that intimate fellowship that we once had in the garden, that Adam and Eve had in the garden before the fall, that we had, that we walked with him in the morning, okay? We walked with God, we talked with God, okay? We had that intimate fellowship, but then it fell away. But we can get that back, okay? We have the ability to bring back that intimate relationship through prayer, through study, through reading his word, okay? And with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we have those abilities to get back. And we will get back to walking with God. We will get back to sitting at the feet of Jesus. We will get back to seeing Paul, seeing Noah, seeing Abraham, seeing the Apostle John. We will get back to that, okay? And that's exciting, that we will get back to that. But we need to follow him. We need to get away from this negative self-talk and believing this stuff, okay? I mean, hear me out on this. I mean, just because you talk negative about yourself doesn't mean you're lost your salvation, okay? But we need to put our trust in him who created us for a specific reason. But once we get a couple of these negative comments in our head, we can use them over and over and over again. And it's like having a heckler, like at a comedy show or whatever, just constantly in your head, just heckling you and reminding you of telling yourself. But we need to get out of that. So in conclusion, what I want to was to say, because I got a couple more minutes and we'll end it right there. So poor self-esteem is a major hindrance to spiritual growth. Because how can, if we're negative constantly all the time, we're not going to be in God's word. Okay. If we're believing in all these different things, we're not going to get into it. And it's not going to free us up to enjoy and get into his word and let his word get into us, because we're so self-absorbed in these negative comments about whatever our peers are saying about us. So we make excuses for not trying. Okay. We often give up before we even make any kind of progress at all. And that's wrong. We need to stick through things and not give up. Like it says right there, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay. Whatever I'm going through or whatever, I can still be solid in Christ. I could be going through a really rough time and focus on him, and he can bring me out. And I think that's what we need to really focus on, that, you know what, we're not alone. That's the thing I want to get over to you, is that we're not alone in this. This is a struggle, or not a struggle, but this is a journey that we're on. And he's the one that's leading us. He's blazed the trail already. We just need to take up his footsteps and follow him. He's already cut it through the woods. He's already made a trail for us. All we need to do is follow him. So on the other hand, spiritual growth greatly enhances our self-esteem. Okay. As we grow, our achievements encourage us to do more and more. So as we grow spiritually and get closer and closer to Christ, okay, that's going to encourage, like, yeah, okay, I'm learning these things. I'm learning a little bit. I'm getting more and more comfortable speaking to people. Okay. I'm learning more and more about the Bible. It's like, oh, I understand that now. I get that. Like Romans 9, Romans 10 and stuff. I'm just throwing that out there just because. But as we grow spiritually, our self-esteem, our self-image, how we see, we start realizing, and that image that God has for us, how he sees us, we start to see ourselves in the same way. And I am loved by him. He did create us. He created us in his image. He was the artist. He was the potter. I played with clay, sculpting and stuff. And as you're taking your time, and it's, if you've never done it, then it's kind of a little bit hard to understand. But as you're taking your time and you're sculpting, you see in that lump of clay, you see what you're doing, okay? Like a wood carver with chainsaw on a tree, blah, blah, blah. It's the same thing. You see that in there. All you've got to do is remove the excess. So as you're sculpting it and you're moving it and you're creating, you have that image in your head as you're doing it. That's God. So now we're starting to see ourselves as we get more positive. And I'm not talking about false affirmations and kudos and stuff like that. No, as we start getting more and more into God's word, we can start seeing ourselves as Christ sees us, as God sees us through the lenses of Christ. So we start seeing ourselves that way. And that's how we grow and we gain confidence in doing stuff. Okay. Rather than let a mistake or a mistaken estimation of self to hinder our service to God, allow God's, how he sees us, his estimation of ourselves, to enhance our image and our self-esteem. So we need to allow how God sees us to affect how we see ourselves. We need to start taking our will and how we see it and start aligning it with him. And once that happens, it's just like, why didn't I see that? So allow God's estimation of ourselves to encourage the spiritual growth he desires. We will feel better about ourselves if we do. And I'm not talking, I'm not getting into this like self-talk and all that. That is not what I'm doing here. This whole thing about this spiritual growth and self-esteem, the last two parts was we need to get back to how does God see us? What is his estimation of ourselves? How do we reflect God? Because it's in his image that we were created. And the sooner we get back to seeing ourselves as how he sees it or sees us, then that joy that God wants us to have, I'm not talking about happiness, because happiness goes up and down, sadness goes up and down. I'm talking about joy, to have that true joy. You know what? That I am saved by the grace of God and that I will see my brother someday. I will see my mother someday. I will see my dad someday. I will see my friend someday. Why? Because I've put my trust in him alone for my salvation. And it's in him alone that we have. It is in no other name, no other name. Okay. Don't follow the false religions, because they're just going to lead you to a place you don't want to go, because we're going to live eternally. Okay. Doesn't matter what. Everyone will live for eternity. It's just a matter of where your address is going to be, whether it's going to be in heaven with Christ or it's going to be in hell for eternity, no matter what. The Bible teaches, Jesus taught over 25% of the time on hell. Hell is real, so is heaven. So choose your address wisely. Okay? This is all. God bless you guys. And again, this is Biblical Insights. You can go to my YouTube page, Biblical Insights with Pastor Pat. There'll be a link in the podcast over on Anchor. And it's also, you can look up my podcast on Biblical Insights with Pastor Pat.com. It's a WordPress website where I have all my podcasts. You can look at that too. But again, I want to thank you for just the time, just being with me. And I'm not looking into all these likes and shares and how many views do I have? Oh, how many subscribers do I have? That's not what it's all about. God knows what it's about. And you know what? God just wants his message to get out there. That's all it is. His message needs to get out that, you know what, God loves you. We can find our worth in him alone and not trust our feelings. You know what? God made two, male and female. Okay. Don't listen to the peers. Don't listen to the culture where it tells you that you can be the opposite, because it's not. I'm sorry. It's not what God's word says. And we need to be strong and tell the truth and not be ashamed of it. Because as for me and my house, we're not ashamed of God's word. God bless. Welcome to Biblical Insights. I'm your host, Pat Fisk. This is where God's word is proclaimed, and we are definitely unashamed. We tackle issues that are trying to steer our culture away from God. As we watch TV, whether it's the news or one of our favorite shows, the goal, it appears, is to not just entertain us anymore, but the goal is to indoctrinate us. God's word is clear. The Christian voice is being silenced, or so they wish. Tolerance is no longer tolerable. It's time to take a stand and be the voice we're meant to have. Sit down, buckle up. It's gonna get bumpy, so hold on. Let's go.